Praise God. Good morning. Welcome to Choice Baptist. Welcome to the house of the Lord. I'm so thankful to see all of you here today. If you have your Bibles, let me just go ahead and give the scripture reference for this morning, and then we'll take a few minutes and just allow the Word of God to prick our heart. Scripture reference this morning is 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you today. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts what it means to work with Christ, to work with you, to trust you, to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you. Father, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. Speak to us in a mighty way. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen. You know, there are a few times when it's recommended that pastors and preachers don't preach. One of them is when you've lost loved ones and you're preaching their funeral, because it can be such an emotional time. And I think this should be another one. because I'm doing everything that's within me to maintain my emotions right now. And just to hear that song, God has been so good to me. God has been so good to us. You know, it just gives you that picture of David dancing out of his clothes. Now, I'm not going to dance out my clothes this morning. But y'all don't get too surprised if I start dancing. Because God has been so good. And I think as we think about what Paul is saying in these scriptures, he's wanting to remind us of that very point. The title of the message today is Working With Him. Working With Him. I don't know about you, there's been some times in my life that I've had to work with some folks that didn't seem like it was going to go across too easily. Any of you ever had some coworkers that you just kind of bit your teeth, you just kind of gritted your teeth, and maybe you had to carry the load for them a little bit. Maybe you had to kind of be a little bit more patient and long-suffering with them. And maybe you had to hold your peace a little bit longer while you were kind of figuring out how you were going to navigate this process of building a relationship or working with this coworker. And so maybe someone came to mind as I was talking about that, right? There was some, and if somebody didn't come to mind, maybe you're that guy or that gal, right? So when we think about working with him, maybe there's been times where God has needed to be a little bit long suffering with us. That he's needed to be a little bit patient and just walk with us through the process. And so as we take a moment to look at Paul here and what he's saying, the backdrop of this story is, of course, we know that the church of Corinth, the Apostle Paul came and shared the gospel, they received it. But as time went on, there's some issues that came up in the church. Now, I'm not saying that's chore, so, you know, because this is a beautiful place, God is great, but there's times as we're working with one another, there's always going to be something that we're going to have to work through, right? And so Paul is not only is Paul kind of trying to address some things with the church of Corinth, but he's also having to defend himself because there's been rumors going around and people have been talking about Paul and saying some things that were just not true. And so Paul was a little bit on the defense. But God uses what Paul is saying to give us a beautiful template of what it means to work with God, to work with Christ. And what it means, as I was spending the last couple of weeks just thinking about the gift that we have, the gift that's been given to us, this priceless gift of salvation, this priceless gift of the grace of God, his unmerited favor that he's bestowed upon each and every one of us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If we're not careful, we can take that gift for granted. And so we see Paul saying a little bit more in there about don't take the grace of God in vain. And so he's talking about when you hear that word vain, don't take it for nothing, that it has no value, that the grace that God has given us, that the sacrifice of Christ on the cross would not be in vain in and through us. And so it made me just kind of really just think about sharing that message, that idea of thinking about his immeasurable grace, his salvation, what he's given us. See, if we look in the book of John, the third chapter, verse 16 and 17, it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." See, that word perish means to suffer death, typically in a violent way. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, is what Jesus said in John 10:10. But he also said, "But I come that you might have life and life more abundantly." Wow. See, that word perish also means to suffer complete ruin or destruction. That it was the devil's plan to completely ruin everything, to completely destroy us, to wipe us off the face of the earth, so that we would not understand the intrinsic value that we have in Christ. And so it's important for us to meditate on this daily. And I believe that's what Paul was saying when he said, now is the day of salvation. Can any of you remember the day you got saved? I see hands going up all around. The day you accepted Christ. See, there was a peace that came in. There should have been a joy, an excitement. That void that we felt, that we were missing something, all of our lives we were missing something, something wasn't right, something, we weren't whole, we weren't complete. But at the moment Christ came in, we became complete, whole, righteous in his sight. See, I believe God wants us to feel that way every single day. That is closer than when we first believed. It's right there, it's ever present. And then also to remember how good it was for us and how he pardoned our sins and wiped away all of our iniquities. That he wants to do that for somebody else. That today is the day of salvation for somebody. That somebody is being rescued, being pulled out, because that's what that word salvation means. To be redeemed from. To be pulled out of sin and death and given newness of life. So when we think about the meaning of the grace of God and salvation, we think about deliverance, we think about redemption, we think about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid a king's ransom for you and I. A worthy ransom. And he pulled us out of that by the grace of God. And see, that grace of God, when we think about that, it may be that the grace of God that Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 is simply Paul's way of referring to the gospel and its benefits, the good news, the benefits. And then as we look in chapter 5, a little bit before 2 Corinthians 6, there's some things that gives us an indication of those benefits. One of them is in chapter 5, verse 16. It talks about us being the new creation, created new. Old things have passed away. All things become new. That's us. In verse 17. In verse 16, that we now have a new attitude. We have a new mind. We no longer think the way we thought before. We no longer look at people the way we looked at them before. That's a benefit. In verse 18 and 19, he talks about the reconciliation, that we've been reconciled to God. And now we have the ministry of reconciliation and the word that God wants to redeem each and every one of us. He wants to reconcile us back to him, to have a relationship with him. And then in verse 21, the righteousness of God. We become the righteousness of God in Christ. No longer a sinner, but the righteous. That's a benefit. But we also have another benefit there, and sometimes we may not see this as a benefit, but we sure should. We have the added benefit of becoming and being ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech that he appealed to us. Beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So we get to represent Christ. We get to be an ambassador. We get to go share his word, share what he's doing in our lives. Because the priceless grace of God, we get to work with him because of his grace. Because of the king's ransom that he paid for each and every one of us. So we look at that scripture verse in 2 Corinthians 6, 1. He says, we then, as workers together with him, we're workers with him. And so I had to think about that. How did we get to that point of being workers with him? And so just as I mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about being a new creation, and I wondered about that a little bit. Because as I look at the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, it says, we were made in the image of God and the likeness of God. And he gave us dominion. The Bible also says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so God made this man with the ability to choose, the ability to fall. And so I thought about that, if we're his creation, and then the scriptures say we become a new creation, what's the difference between the first creation and a new creation? And I had to meditate on that a little bit. See, as we examine the Old Testament, we look at that scriptures, we're created in the image of God. We have a visual things that look like God look. And in the likeness, we can act and do things like God acts. But one thing I noticed is the Bible says that God cannot sin because he's holy. God cannot lie because he's holy. But he gave us the ability to choose. And so we can do those very things. And so often we look in the Old Testament and we see how God was continually trying to bring the people to him and for them to be obedient, and they kept falling away and falling away and falling away. And so that first creation had this very difference. See, we were God's creation, but we were not his children. We were not his children. Just let that sink in a little bit. Because remember, God, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And so Jesus also, the Spirit of Jesus, the holiness of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus, no sin, could not. Because he is the pure embodiment of holiness and righteousness, just like God is. And so the Lord led me to 2 Timothy to talk about that a little bit. How do we get to, not 2 Timothy, I want to go to Timothy bad today, don't I? Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. And he says in this verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Thought not robbery to be co-laborer, co-worker. That the Trinity is fully the Godhead body, but they each had a different role to play. And then it goes on to say, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So fully God and fully man. See, the difference was with us is we were just fully man. Anybody ever looked at their kid and say, you know, especially the boys, you got too much man in you? And so at the beginning, we didn't have that position as the royal priesthood, as joint heirs with Christ, as a holy nation. And so we were in need of that key element. Look at Philippians 2, verse 13 and 16. For it is by God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless. Look what that next part says. The sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So at the moment we accepted Christ, we were adopted into the family. We became sons and daughters of God. We received that Holy Spirit within us that no longer could sin. Now, this flesh is a different story. But the Spirit that embodies us, we were quickened, we were brought alive by that Spirit. And we became righteous in His sight. And so what that was God now enabled us with everything we needed. Lacking nothing to live out this life. But also he didn't just do that. He also enabled us now to be able to work with him. Gave us the skills, gave us the tools, gave us the abilities to work with him. which before we were constantly fighting against, and we were constantly pushing against, and we were constantly doing things that were against the will of God. And his flesh still wants to do that, still wants to go that way. But our spirit, the spirit of the living God, lives on the inside of us. We are the sons of God. We are allowing this priceless and costly gift to not be for nothing, to not be wasted, to be used for God's glory. A few days ago, my family and I, we were in Costco, and there was this lady that was, you know, those little stands where they're giving you free food, right? Everybody liked the free food, right? When you go into Costco. And so we were walking past this lady, and Benjamin was walking in front of us, and all of a sudden, she had a big soup bucket. The soup bucket hit the floor. Soup went everywhere. And so you all forgive me, my response was, because Benjamin is a great man, we love him, he's shaking his head. When accidents happen and Benjamin is around, we kind of sometimes think, Benjamin. love you, son. So I my eyes were fixed on him, and then I when the soup fell, so I said, "Did you waste the soup?" And the lady thought I was talking to her, and she said, "Yeah, I spent a little bit too much time in the wine aisle this morning." See, if we're not careful, we can spend too much time in things that we should never be in and waste what God has given us. So I just want to give you three points of that Paul may have not fully thought about what he was writing here. But it's a precious template of how we don't waste what God has given us and how we can work effectively with him. In this very chapter, he lays out some things. When he's trying to defend himself, when he's trying to kind of justify himself, when there's accusations, when there's rumors, when there's persecution coming against him. And I call these three points the end, by, and the yet. You might want to write that down, end, by, yet. See, I'm going to Louisiana, so, you know, trying to, you know, they got all kind of new words there, so I'm coming with end by yet. That works? All right. See, the first thing that we look at 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4 and 5. The point of end. God is asking us the question, are you all in? Paul says this, he writes these words, but in all things, approving ourselves as the minister of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distress. See, God never said that this life was going to be easy, that everything was going to be fixed for us. But he wanted us to know that he would be right there in the midst of it all. And so Paul, and when he's saying, you know, these are the things that I've been working through that proves my faith, that proves that I'm walking with God, because even ourselves, we need to be proved sometimes. Because I know when I first got saved, I was like, am I really saved? Anybody been there? Did I really mean it? Did I just say the words? And so, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, he says, there's going to be times where you're going to have to walk in patience, in afflictions, in necessities. You're going to have some wants, some needs. All the bills are not going to get paid sometime, and you're going to be looking and you're going to be saying, what's going on? In distresses, there's going to be some hard times. In stripes, in prisons. In turmoil. But also there's that good end in the labors. Are we laboring for him? in watching, in fasting? Are we staying present? Are we staying in the end, or are we running away at the moment a trial or persecution comes up? See, Paul is saying, be in the end. Don't be in the out. See, there was a time when I was a young officer in the military, and I was sitting with a couple of our other lieutenants, and two of the lieutenants were white guys, and we were talking about getting promoted to captain, and the two guys looked at me and they said, "Well, Jeff, you won't have a problem with that." And I said, "What do you mean I won't have a problem?" They said, "Well, affirmative action will take care of you." And when they said that, I was like, "What do you mean?" See, affirmative action was never created to give me an advantage over anyone, but to just kind of level the playing field. And so when they said that, I kind of knew that they were looking at me a little different. One of them went so far as to tell the commander, the new commander that came in, that Jeff wasn't good enough, that I was taking his job and he didn't think I could do his job. And so the commander allowed that to sit in his mind, in his heart. And within a few days, he went to the battalion commander and said and repeated the same words, that he was concerned about whether or not I would be able to do the job as a platoon leader. And how I found out about that is the battalion executive officer called me in and he said, "Jeff, in the natural, in the flesh, he told me to watch your back. He said, be careful, because there are people out to get you." And so often we can hear that in the natural and we can respond if we're not careful and not be in the moment that God has for us. To understand that there's going to be trials and there are afflictions, but it's for his glory. And so that people would see him and not us. And so I had great people around me that encouraged me and that reminded me of that very point. And so I didn't say anything to my company commander. I just worked in the moment. I worked. I was diligent. I gave it my very best. I didn't allow what I was hearing, those rumors, to take me off of what God had called me to do. And at the end of time, when I was getting ready to leave, this was probably 2 years in the making, that same company commander called me in, invited me over his house, actually, and we were having lunch over his house. And he said, "Jeff, I have to share something with you." He said, "Jeff, you remember when I first came in?" He laid it all out for me. He told me everything that happened. He told me he had went to the battalion commander, and the battalion commander told him to, "You need to work with Jeff." And he looked me in the eyes and he apologized. He said, "Jeff, I'm so sorry for ever treating you that way." And I got to share with him the good news of Jesus Christ. I got to share with him I knew, and it blew his eye. He was like, "What? You knew the whole time?" And I got to share with him that here's what the scriptures say. In Acts 17:28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." In him we live. not in this world. In him we move, not in the promotions of men. In him we have our being, not in the trials that can so easily beset us if we take our eyes off of him. So by being his offspring, now being sons and daughters, we are now afforded the privilege to operate by the Spirit. That's the next point, by the Spirit. By what spiritual gift and what spirit are you operating under? Are you operating by? See, look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6 through 8. He says, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. I got that right that time, right there? Feigned? I keep messing that word up. I said unfringed the last time I preached about that. Y'all remember that? Unfeigned. So he's saying there's a by. See, each of them, every one of us has been given spiritual gifts. And we get to operate by those gifts, not by the natural, not by our own understanding, but by the Spirit that has empowered us through the Holy Spirit. And then the spiritual gifts that he's given each and every one of us. And if we're not operating by that, we're operating in vain. We're making it hard for God to work with us. You ever told somebody, just work with me? Come on now. It don't have to be this hard. Just work with me. So Paul lays this out as he's talking. He's saying, these are all the things that I've done by the word of truth, the spiritual gift of sharing the word of truth by the power of God, knowing that God's power rests upon each and every one of us, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, that his righteousness provides armor. See, there's going to be some folks that's going to call your righteousness evil. There's going to be some folks that's going to call your good bad. But we can be reminded of this very verse. By the armor of righteousness on the right and on the left, God protects all of our flanks. He's got it. We can stand in it. See, by the grace of God, we are all gifted with the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all spiritual truth. By the grace of God, we're all gifted with a special gift given by God to operate. Today, as every member, a minister. And so we're ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's gifted us. In other words, no longer do we have to go and be a coworker that's we're having to pull up. We're having to kind of figure out, because God has gifted each and every one of us. In other words, we're well equipped with our gifts, talents, and abilities. It's just so often, many times, we don't know it. We don't know, or we don't realize how equipped we are and how he's growing our faith, growing us to be able to now use it in a glorious and mighty way. See, some of us have some natural strength, some natural, abilities. I tell you, the last week and for several weeks, three dear men have just been coming over our house and just really helping us kind of get some things together. Mike McCool back there, Wayne Hart, and my dad, Nathaniel. And then Chuck and his guys have been coming over. Those guys worked me under the table. Those guys have some strength. I don't know where they get it from. It's like they are He-Man inside. But they not only accompany that natural strength, you can see the spiritual strength that's within them. And that's far greater. See, anything that we can do in the natural is minimal to what we can do in the spirit. What we can do for God if we operate by the spirit and not by the flesh. So in, be all in. And then by, operate by the spirit and not by the flesh. This is how we work with God, how we work with Christ, and we be effective workers for the ministry. And then that last point, the yet, the end by yet. See, as Paul was going through these trials and he was seeing life and there was things going on, the yet, the definition of it means up until the present. Up until is not what the world says, but it's what God says. That his word is mightier, his word is sure, his word is perfect, and we can trust it. See, are you walking in the natural or are you walking by faith? See, we're walking in and we're walking by faith. So Paul said these very words in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10, as unknown. See, the world might say you don't mount too much. But God says, yet you're well known. See, the world may say that you're dying, that you don't matter. But behold, God says we are alive in Christ. See, the world may try to chasten us, but we won't kill it, but it won't kill us. The world may say we're sorrowful, but God says we're always rejoicing. The world may see us as poor, but God has given us riches to bestow on many. The world may think we have nothing, but in Christ we possess all things. See, he's saying up until God gets the final word. We walk by faith, not by sight. We trust him. We stand on his promises. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations, we stay present. We stay in the moment. We allow God to operate. We don't try to run from it because we know that it's going to bring him glory. And that he's equipped the saints. He's equipped the body of believers that we have the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And then we walk this journey by faith. We understand that this is not our home, that it's a pilgrim's journey. We live as strangers resisting the pull of this world, looking for our new home. Operating with a yet God, if it wasn't for him. Demonstrating our understanding of the priceless gift he has given us. That his grace is unmeasurable. That his salvation has redeemed us. And that as we travel and we work and we do the will of God, that we don't go weary. In Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I saw that lived out yesterday, the last couple of weeks. The last couple of years being here at Chores. And it hasn't always been easy for any of us. But I'm so thankful God allowed me to be a part of this body. because I needed to be in this work. I needed to see what God could do by the vessels that he has here at Choice. And I'm expecting a yet kind of answer from God as we walk in faith, not by sight, as we trust him. So Tanya gave me some tissues before I came up. I don't think I've actually used the tissues since I've been up here. Because those tears are tears of joy. And I love how they feel on my face. Because I'm so thankful to be working with him. I'm so thankful to be a son of God. To know that we are complete, that we are whole. And nothing the devil throws at us can defeat us. And so we can work with him, knowing that he's going to do a great thing. We can expect it. We can come in. We can get up in the morning and say, here's all the gifts and the talents that God has given me, and he's going to use them. He's going to use them in a mighty way. And not only is he going to use them, but he's going to allow someone to see that today is the day of salvation. Go back to 2 Corinthians 6. Because Paul wanted us to know that it doesn't matter what happens in this life. That if we trust him, if we walk with him, if we work with him, he's already completed it for us. But now he wants to complete it for somebody else. And so we can say, my gifts are going to allow someone to see Christ today. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to use me, to direct me, to walk with me. I believe that the Holy Spirit rests on this place that is going to prick somebody's heart for Christ. I believe that the Word of God is true, that is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds and the lifting up of the same, the strongholds of God. That when someone hears that God doesn't hate you, that he's not mad at you, that his desire is that you wouldn't be lost, that you wouldn't be destroyed. But that you would have newness of life. That you just wouldn't be his creation, but that you would be his son, his daughter. And have everything that he ever wanted for you. See, that gives me joy when I get up in the morning. That excites me. To know that today is the day of salvation. To know that somebody can feel just the way I feel. That someone could know the love of God just the way I know it. And I don't want the cares of this world to get in the way. Did I forget that? That we forget that. That we grow heartened to the grace of God. And it doesn't do its full work in us. That it becomes for nothing. See, God saved each and every one of us so that, yes, we would be redeemed, we would go to heaven, but also that we would now be co-laborers. So that now we would be effective in drawing someone else to Christ. So God is saying, work with him. If that's you and you don't know Christ as your Savior, let today be your day. Let today be the day of salvation. If you know Christ as your Savior, and you've been pulling and God been pushing and pulling and y'all got this struggle going on, get it right with him today. Let him work in you. Let him show you how glorious he is. Don't resist it. Yes, we all have those moments of feeling not enough, feeling ill-equipped, feeling like we can't do it. Don't believe those lies. God will make an opportunity for you. Just trust him. Working with him means we are in the journey with him. Working with him means we are operating by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Working with him means we are living by faith and not how the world sees us. And also when your mind tries to tell you something different, be in the business of telling your mind to shut up. I've done that often. Tell it to shut up and listen to what God is saying. Know that his gift is priceless, that he's made you, he's equipped you. And if you know Christ, you are now a son of the living God and are well able to do the work with him. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's worthy. Yes, Lord. And we're going to have a moment of invitation, and as we transition to our baptism, why don't you search your heart? Are you absolutely sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? Are you absolutely sure that you know Christ? Let today be that day. Before we stand and have our invitation, I just want to have you just pray with you. If you're not sure, but you want to be sure, with every head bowed and eyes closed, search your heart. Do you know Christ? Have you made him your Savior and Lord? If you're not absolutely sure, if you can't say that in confidence, why don't we pray right now and get it right and settled with God? Why don't you say these words? Father God, I know that I've sinned and I'm not worthy to be called your son. But I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and that he rose on the third day for my salvation. Therefore, this day, I repent of all of my sins. I accept the free gift, the gift of grace. And I make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I believe that he rose on that third day for my salvation. And I thank God for it. Father God, take me to heaven when I die. And use me for your glory on this earth. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, the angels in heaven are rejoicing for you. For those that we may be struggling and are working for him, let me just pray with you. Father God, on this Every Member of Minister Sunday, Lord, help us to be steadfast, to change our heart, to trust you, Father. Let you lead, God, and direct us. Father, we thank you for your finished work. We thank you for not just being your creation, but being your sons and daughters. Now, Lord, use us. Use me for your glory. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me? If you need to come to the altar, please come on up.